Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think for a moment about who are the most despised people in our society today. Well, in Israel, in Jesus' day, about 2,000 years ago, tax collectors were among the most despised and looked down on people in society. One of the reasons for that is that God had told his people, the Israelites, not to associate with other peoples, with non-Israelites, because the vast majority, in fact, virtually all of the non-Israelite peoples were idol worshipers, people who worshiped false gods, images made out of gold or silver or stone, and who did other sinful practices as part of their worship of those false gods. Sinful sexual practices, and even sacrificing children, killing children and burning them up as a sacrifice on the altar to those false gods. So God instructed his people to be totally separate from all other people who did not believe in and follow him, the only true God. But in Israel at Jesus' day, the tax collectors worked for the unbelieving Romans who were controlling Israel and the Jewish people in Palestine at that time. Most Jews at the time of Jesus hated having the Romans rule over them and occupy their land, and so they also hated their fellow Jews who worked as tax collectors for those Roman oppressors. They viewed them as people who were betraying their own people in order to work for those oppressive pagan Roman overlords. And moreover, those tax collectors very often took advantage of their position of power by extorting the common person, demanding extra money that they would then pocket for themselves before they paid the appropriate amount of taxes to the Roman governors. And so, in general, at the time of Jesus, the tax collectors were the outcasts of society. What about today in our contemporary culture and society? Well, we who live in the big city might look down on rural people, country folk who are not from the big city and who might have different customs and manners than we do. We might look down on recent immigrants who have not yet fully assimilated into our American culture and our society, or perhaps who have not yet come to master the common language of our country. We might look down on homeless people, on beggars, on drug addicts and prostitutes who roam the streets and ask for handouts. Yes, we have a lot of prejudice if we are honest and willing to admit it. There are many people in our society and in our lives around us that we look down on. What if Jesus were living among us today, going out to eat with all of those people living in openly sinful lifestyles whom we look down on? Would our reaction have been like the reaction of the Pharisees that we read about in the reading today, who were muttering about Jesus behind his back, insulting him because he welcomes sinners and eats with them? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's take this opportunity today to think about our own prejudice and our own pride toward other people. Those kinds of prejudicial and prideful attitudes and thoughts are sin. God says to us in Philippians chapter 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." We are honest, we must admit that we often despise others for their sins and look down on them. We often feel proud about our own righteousness. Often, instead of considering others better than ourselves, we instead consider ourselves better than others. This is sin. In that same section of Philippians chapter 2, God continues to speak to us through the Apostle Paul. He says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Yes, our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, but so often it's not. Jesus was willing to give up his life in order to save his enemies. When he was dying, Jesus prayed to God the Father, asking God the Father to forgive those people who were torturing and mocking and killing him. And Jesus gave up his life for dirty, disgusting, proud, arrogant, sinful you and me. We confess that our attitude is often nowhere near as pure and self-sacrificing as that. And that lack of purity is sin, which deserves punishment from a just and righteous God. But in that same passage that we just heard from Philippians chapter 2, we also find the solution to this problem of our sin. There we find good news from God for us. Even though our attitude is so often selfish and proud and arrogant, even though we often do sinful things that hurt the heart of Jesus, yet Jesus was perfectly loving and humble, so much so that he willingly gave up the full use of his power and glory as God, and he came to this earth to live and to suffer and die in our place, in order to save us from experiencing the eternal suffering of hell that we deserved because of our sins. In our gospel reading today, Jesus gives us two beautiful parables that help us to understand the extent and the depth of his wonderful love for us sinners. In the parable, we are that one sheep who went wandering away, following after our own sinful desires instead of staying close to Jesus, our shepherd, and following in his ways. We were that one coin that got lost in our sin. But Jesus does not give up on us, even when we have turned our backs on him and wandered away from him and his ways. Jesus searches for us tirelessly. He considers each and every one of us so important that even though there are billions of other people on this planet, he goes out looking for each one of us individually to bring us back to him and into his family. He comes to us through his law, that message of his word that shows us our sin, to show us where we have gone astray from him and his will, and he leads us to repent of those sins against him. And then he brings us back to him, brings us back into his family through the good news, the wonderful message that he has already taken away and paid for each and every one of those sins when he died on the cross. And even though we can't see it and we are not aware that it's happening, Jesus tells us that each one of us is so important to him that he and all the angels in heaven rejoice when each one of us sinners who were lost is then rescued by him and brought back into the family of believers. What amazing grace of our God that he considers one lost sheep or one lost coin like us to be so important to him that he will search tirelessly for us, and that he even gave up his own life to save and rescue us. This amazing grace, this amazing love of God inspires us to follow in this same pattern in the mission that Jesus has given to all of us. We are sorry for our sins of pride and of self-righteousness and of despising and looking down on people whom we think are disgusting or sinful. And now that we know the depths of God's love, even to sinful people like us, in joy, we will want to share that amazing love of God with all the other people of the world who are lost in sin themselves. As Jesus said about his own mission, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so we see that Jesus doesn't want us to lock ourselves away in a monastery and just try to perfect our own righteousness by ourselves. Jesus doesn't want us only to associate with other fellow Christians. Rather, Jesus wants us to take this wonderful message of his death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins out to all the people of the world. Because all people have the soul sickness of sin, and they need that spiritual, life-giving message of the gospel that only Jesus gives. So we don't just go and share this gospel message with those sheep who are close by us, who are nice and friendly and clean. No, like Jesus, we go far and wide, searching after those dirty, lost, and straying sheep. Even searching after those sheep who have a mean and nasty temper, who maybe even try to hurt us when we are trying to help them. This is our mission. Now, not everyone is able to go to faraway places to share the gospel. Not everyone is able to be a full-time gospel worker in the church or a teacher. But every Christian, each and every single believer, knows the love of God. They know the forgiveness of sins that God gives to us through Jesus. Every Christian can go out and look for the lost sheep who are right around them in their lives and use God's word to bring them back to him. So pray to God to give you opportunities and to keep your eyes open to see those opportunities that he gives to you to share the message of Jesus and his love and forgiveness with the people that you come into contact with each day. Pray to God to give you the boldness to seize those opportunities to proclaim God's word about our sin and about God's grace to those people in a way that they will understand and resonate with. And then after you have shared God's word with them, pray to God that he will continue to work in their hearts through his word that you have shared with them. And then pray that God will continue to give you more opportunities to follow up and to continue sharing this message of his love and mercy with them. Above all, trust that Jesus has saved you by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. And trust that he wants to save many other people as well. Trust that through his word, he will keep searching for those lost sheep and lost coins. And he will not give up until he finds them and brings them back to himself. And finally, when we hear another person say that they believe that Jesus is their Savior, when we see someone being baptized and in the service of baptism making that public statement of their faith in Jesus, when a group of Christians joins together in the worship service to confess their common faith in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by reciting the words of one of the creeds, or when a brother or sister in Christ is confirmed in the Christian faith and makes promises to remain faithful to God and his word and make faithful use of his word and sacraments, even to the point of death, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice because we know that God and all the angels in heaven are also rejoicing at that time. In the eyes of the world, baptism and confession of faith and confirmation do not seem like very significant events. Just by outward appearances, it doesn't seem like very much is actually happening in those ceremonies. But in the eyes of God and of the angels who serve him, there is nothing more significant or important than those events. To God, all that matters is that he seeks and finds those who are lost in sin. So let's rejoice with him when that happens. And let's keep praying that he will use us for that mission. Amen.